Chronicles chapter 4. Stand to your feet with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Thank you for the message earlier. What a blessing. You tell when folks put time into studying the word of God. And I appreciate the message. What a blessing. Both of you young men, last night and tonight. Just, well, we've got hope for the future, don't we?
Amen.
Praise his name. Verse number 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow, she said. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Our Father, I pray that you'd help me in these next few moments, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. Now, Lord, we don't want to leave here just stirred. We need to be changed. There's a world that's dying. There's a devil that's busy. There's a flesh that's no good. But there's a God that's greater. Oh, God, help us tonight. Bind the forces of Satan. Anoint these lips of clay. I do pray for unction to function, that you'd use me for thy glory. Bless my wife and family back home. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is one of those passages in the Word of God that don't appear to be very fun or productive to read. They are passages of posterities and genealogies, full of names. And for verse upon verse, you're reading, and he begot him, and he begat him, and he begat him, and he begat him, and this was the son of him, and this was the son of him, and this was the son of him. And sometimes you're reading through your Bible and read passages of scripture like that, and you feel like you're wasting your time. I mean, I'm just reading name after name after name after name. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they mean. They don't have much value to me. And I'm reminded of what Paul said to Timothy. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you realize that every part of the Bible will help you? Amen. And so when you read these names, although these names seem like they don't mean anything, they are found in the Word of God and they do have value. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, this familiar name to many of us, this familiar story to many of us, comes amidst other names. Name after name after name, very little details. Very little categories about these details, very little insight about these names, but in the middle of nowhere pops up a name that's not connected to any name before it and not related to any name after it. It's the name Jabez. They've written books about Jabez. Men have preached messages about Jabez. We've heard sermons, series about Jabez. And here comes Jabez in the middle of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as if the Holy Spirit of God says, here comes a name I want you to remember. Here comes a life I want you to study. Here comes a work of God I want you to admire. And the name is Jabez. His name means painful one. Sorrowful one. One who brings sorrow to another. I will tell you, that's pretty deflating to come into this world and have your mom name you painful one. Sorrowful one. One who brings sorrow to another. I can only deduce that he was an ugly baby. Amen. Mama looked at him and said, boy, you bring pain. I've heard people say, I've never seen an ugly baby. I have. I've seen some look like aliens. Amen. That's a lie that we say to make people feel good. Maybe Jabez was an ugly baby. I doubt it. I say it in jest. But without a doubt in my mind, when his mom gave him a name like Jabez, in so many words she was saying, I don't expect much to amount out of your life. I don't expect you to go very far in life. I don't expect you to do very much. As a matter of fact, I expect your life to produce pain. I expect your life to bring sorrow. I expect things to come out of you that won't please me as a mother. For most boys, to have your mother, who's supposed to be your biggest fan, to be predicting failure and sorrow and pain for your life, that would have been enough to check out, to back down, to give up, and to absolutely not try at all. But Jabez understood something that you and I must understand, that the productivity of our life is not based on the prediction of anybody, regardless of what his mom called him, regardless of what his brothers didn't do, regardless of what status quo said he'd end up being. Jabez says, there's somebody that's got something bigger for me than what mama predicted. And by the way, it wasn't the president, it wasn't his hero, it wasn't some movie star. He called on the God of heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. He called on the God of heaven and he said, God, there's got to be something bigger for my life. There's got to be something greater for my life. There's got to be something you have for me. I know mama says pain. I know my brothers aren't doing anything. I know there's a generation around me that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But there's a God in heaven who sits high and looks low. Promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south. God is the one that sets up one and takes down another. Jabez said, I'm not calling on anybody but Almighty God, the one who put the stars in place, the one who put the moon in space, the one who formed me, breathed into me the breath of life, the one who put me in the mother's womb and guided me through the birthing canal. That God has something for me. Boy, it amounted to something. Every time I read this story, I'm challenged, because there was something in Jabez. Something you can't describe. Something you can't explain. Something you can't teach. Something you can't even transfer. It's something that comes from God. It's a supernatural thing. It's a real thing. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. Something was in him. Tonight, for a few brief moments, I want to ask the question, is it in you? Is it in you? I want to get serious for a few moments tonight. I've preached on Jabez many times. I want it to be so fresh tonight like it's the first time. I'm asking you, is there something in you? I stand up and preach in pulpits all over America. I've been in places all over the world. I preach to small crowds and big crowds. I preached in schools and prisons and community centers and funeral homes and on the street and in churches and all kinds of places. And I wonder sometimes, are there any boys and girls sitting out there with something in their eyes, something in their hearts that say, I want God to do something in my life? I'll tell you what was in Jabez, a passion for God's prosperity. Notice verse number 10. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh is not a word of ho-hum. Oh is not a word of lackadaisical nature. Oh is not a word of inaction. Oh is not a word of apathy. Oh is not, oh, I came to church. Oh, I got a Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Oh, yeah, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. No. Oh is a word of passion. I want to tell you, when Jabez talked to God, he talked to God with passion. God, I'm not praying to say I prayed. I'm not on the altar to say I came. I'm not in church to get my head counted. There's a passion that starts at the sole of my feet to the crown of my head. I want the blessing of God in my life. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I wonder if there's anybody desperate for the touch of God. Desperate for the touch of God. I wonder if there's a young preacher in here that says, I'm not interested in signing Bibles, preaching big meetings, getting my face on a flyer. I'm not interested in getting a doctorate degree from some organization. No, I'll tell you what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. I wonder if there's a singer in the building today say, I'm not interested for a wide range. I'm not interested to wow the crowd. I'm not interested to an invitation on The Voice or American Idol. No, when I sing, I want the blessing of God on my voice. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. He had a passion for God's prosperity. Secondly, he had a pursuit of his own purpose, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. You say, preacher, what's a coast? I tell you what it is. It's a circle. It's a sphere. It's a wingspan. Somebody help me preach. Jabez said, I'm one person and my arms can only stretch but so wide. My circle can only get but so big. My influence can only reach but so far. But God, you sit high, you look low. You know everything. You're everywhere. You can do anything. You never change. You always have and you always will be. I only got 24 hours a day. I'm not omnipresent. I'm only in one place at one time. But God, if all that power you have, all that knowledge you have, all that wisdom you own, all that presence you have, all that unchangeability you are, oh God, if you could spend my life past more people, let me touch more people, let me reach more souls, let me impact more lives. I know what it is to lay my head down on a pillow at night and not be able to fall asleep because I want to wake up the next day and touch somebody. Give me some young men I can put in a car and take them down to Charlestown. Give me a church I can impact. Give me young men I can adopt into my home. Give me preachers I can encourage. Give me young ladies I can challenge to live for God. Enlarge my coast. You ever lost sleep over somebody? You ever lost an appetite over somebody? You didn't have to say you were fasting. You just didn't want to eat. Because somebody's soul stole your hunger. Jabez said, enlarge my coast. Enhance my impact. Expand my influence. I think if Jabez had a job, he'd say, God, let me work a shift with somebody that'll listen to the gospel. I think if Jabez was going to the dentist, he'd say, God, let the person that cleans my teeth accept this gospel tract. I think if Jabez caught the metro every morning, I think he'd say, sit me next to somebody that's interested in Jesus. I think if Jabez were going to college, he'd say, send me to the college and give me a roommate that will let me impact him. I'm tired of a little circle. I'm tired of the little bit I did in 2016. It's a new year, a new opportunity, a new dawn, a new chance. Enlarge my coast. Wow. Pursuit. Number three. Not only enlarge my coast, not only bless me indeed, let your hand be with me. He had a petition for God's presence. Moses said, God, if you ain't going, we ain't going. He said, God, I need your hand with me. You realize I just said God's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time. But Jabez said, I know you're everywhere at the same time. But God, I'm not just asking for you to be there because you're everywhere. He said, I want your hand to be with me. Do you understand how big of a deal it is to have the hand of God with you? I'm just simply saying, is there a singer who said, I'm not going to the stage if God don't go? Is there a preacher say, I'm not staying behind that pulpit if God don't go? Is there a soul winner say, I'm not knocking on the door if God don't knock it with me? Is there somebody that says, I'm not gonna go out there and do something for God unless God does it with me? I'm telling you, we have learned how to be so good at spiritual things, we'd be able to pull off doing it without God. I need your hand. Who in here won't admit you've sung without God before? You've preached without God before and had everybody thinking it was a good message. Had everybody excited about it, was sounding like a good song. Had everybody impressed with your soul winning techniques and your prayer eloquence and your preaching pulpiteering. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Preached all over this country and all over this world. I don't care about signing Bibles and taking pictures. I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out when I'm out of pulpit, whether I'm preaching to 5,000. I need the hand of God. Oh God, we do. Jabez, God bless me. Oh God, use me. Oh God, accompany me. Number four, I'd like to ask you, how often you're asking God to keep your little wandering soul out of mess? Boy, if Jabez were living in 2017, Jabez would say, I'm a senior in high school and I've got projects every time I think about it. But God, while I'm working on my project for school,
Keep my dirty eyes from clicking on the wrong websites. Keep my dirty hand from scrolling to the wrong spot. I think Jabez would say, God, if I can't control what I watch on TV, give me the guts to get rid of it. God, if I can't be on social media without surfing and saying nonsense, keep me out of it. Let me tell you something, young people, there are more pitfalls around you today than there were when I was growing up. And if you don't have any passion for God, you'll step in a mine and get blown up before you can think about it. I wouldn't leave the house if I were a teenager in 2017. God, keep me from the wrong girlfriend. Keep me from the wrong friends. Keep me from the wrong language. Keep me from the wrong runaway thought life. Keep me from the wrong dress. Can I tell you that the world doesn't think about Christians when they design clothes? Ralph Lauren doesn't go, don't forget them modest Christians when you design that skirt. Come on, talk to me. That means that you're going to be a young lady in 2017 and dressed in a way to please God. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to go out your way. Sometimes you're going to have to take two pieces and make them into one. You got to do what you got to do. But God, keep me from evil. I don't want to sell my body. I don't want to promote something that's not godly. I don't want to be a Christian that ends up with a bad testimony. I don't want to be a young lady standing in front of the church. I don't want to be two Christian kids that are plummeted in divorce. Listen to me now. It's happening all over our churches today. You know why? We're walking around like sin is not devious, like the devil's a cartoon character, like the flesh is actually getting better as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that joker's still a liar. That flesh is still no good. That world is still anti-God. That sin is still on every hand. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm just wondering, is it in you? Is it in you? Is there a drive that says, I don't want to mess up? I don't want to
forfeit God's choice for me by fooling around as a single. I don't want to miss the pulpit God has for me by messing up in Bible college. I don't want to lose my ministry by wrecking my marriage. Come on, listen to me. He said, you keep me from evil. Guard me from evil. Protect me from evil. Direct me from evil. Shine the light on evil. Amen. Why? That it might not grieve me. Keep me from sin, because sin makes me a loser. I'm not just trying to stay out of sin to keep from embarrassing my family and making fundamentalism look bad and making the world do another 60-minute special on IFBs. No, listen to me. He said, I'm trying to stay out of sin because when I sin, I'm miserable. When I sin, I'm discouraged. When I sin, I'm a loser. When I sin, I ain't happy. When I sin, I'm out of fellowship. When I sin, I don't have no joy. The greatest joy comes from walking with God, living for Jesus, staying confessed. Stop yielding to the Spirit of God. Keep me out of that junk.
Wow.
It may not grieve me. And the last point, the provision for his prayer. And the Lord granted him. I tell you what was in Jabez. Enough passion in prayer to get it answered. Now look up here, and I'm going to quit. I'm never finished, but I'm going to quit. We are living in the day and age of passionless Christianity. Churches don't have passion. Choirs don't have passion. Preachers don't have passion. Soul winners don't have passion. Young people don't have, Christian schools don't have passion. Let me give that a disclaimer. They don't have passion for God. They got passion for everything else. Put them in front of a video game, they got passion. Put them at a music concert, they got passion. Put them at a buffet. And I ain't just talking about the boys. I mean, we live in a day and age of some eating girls. Listen, we got some girls in our church can't throw down with their boys.
You take that sister in the Golden Corral. I'm going to tell you, Tom from Tom and Jerry turns into Mufasa. What if they dove into the Bible like they dive into pizza? What if they spent all that time in the Word like they spend on Facebook? What if they shouted at the preacher when he said something that was true, like they shout at the TV that can't hear them? Has a TV ever had you throwing stuff, stomping, screaming? Has a running back ever had you running in the living room with him beside him? Go, go, go. I'd be running right with him. That's the way our young people all be when the preacher's preaching. Go, go, go. Amen. He's running for Jesus. No passion. And they're dropping like flies. Another one bites the dust. Have you heard? Did you hear? Guess what happened? Haven't seen him at church. Yeah, he back. Just look on Facebook. Went to the mall yesterday. Saw what's name and what? This boy not only quit God, he don't even like girls anymore. We're not knocking on the board. We're just telling you sin, take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you're willing or able to pay. You're not the first one. Come on, Samson did way more than any of us ever do. Sad part about Samson was he got up like he did before and God left him and he didn't even know. Lot was closest to one of the great, Lot was close to one of the greatest men in all of the Bible. And one verse after he separates from him, God told Abraham, look north, south, east, and west, and everything you can see, walk on it, it's yours. And Lot missed it just like that. Yep. Yes, sir. And he went from being able to enjoy the blessings of Abraham to being a citizen of Sodom and Gomorrah, having lost his testimony. Nobody would listen to him. He lost his wife. He got out there with the skin of his teeth. His daughters were whacked. They were prostituted. They had incest with them. And from the womb of a righteous man came two nations that were the enemies of God perpetually. He was right there with Abraham. You can be right here. Good old, you can be right here. You can write it down in your Bible. I was at the rally in 2017. That does not mean 5 years from now you won't be strung out on who knows what. Enough of this that we think the world's only folks said it. David was a man after God's own heart. And in one chapter, he looked, he got hooked, he booked, he took, and became a crook. In one chapter. And we're still talking about the fall of David. Oh, we preach about Goliath. Sure we do. We preach about a man after God's own heart. We preach about him playing that harp. We preach about him being a warrior. But who can remember David without thinking about Bathsheba? Judas kept the bag. He was the treasurer of Jesus' church. A betrayer whose life ended in suicide. Are you listening to me? Demas was with Paul when he wrote to the people of God. And then he said to Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this. What happened to Demas? What happened to Judas? Come on. They didn't have it in them. But did Jabez? Boy, he had something in it. Had something in it. Why is it we're not talking about his brothers? We don't even know their names. We don't know his mother's name. We know something about him. He's just represented in a couple verses in the Bible. They're writing books. They're preaching messages. And here we are in Maryland on a Saturday night preaching about Jabez. Don't you reckon it pays to have some in you? They had something in them. Now I'm asking every person in the building tonight. Is it in you? You're going to have to look at yourself tonight. Is it? I'm not asking you if you can sing, if you can preach, if you can smile, if you look good. I'm asking you, whatever
this brother Jabez had in him in 1 Chronicles 4. My soul, is it in you? Our Father, we're so content to dot the I's and cross the T's.